how I was that day, what I've done good, what I've done bad, and make it a balanced list, but it's examining each day. I want to read a verse out of 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." I don't need other people testing me and judging me, but I need to examine my own life. I need to look in the mirror and examine, see how I've been doing, what's been going on. And one of the best things to do is to journal. And that's hard for me. Very hard for me to journal. Today, as I was sitting and meditating and getting ready for tonight, I realized that by only going to the 9th grade, I don't remember studying for one test in school ever. I don't ever remember learning from books in school. I didn't finish school, but you know, I came to realize that that's okay with God. But I can change that now. Now I can start to read books and to learn and to grow in knowledge and grace. I don't have to remain the same way I was when God called me. And part of through that is journaling every day. Stop at the end of the night, take 10 or 15 minutes and to journal. And sometimes it's real hard to get started journaling. For me, it's hard because I'm one of those people that really... I'll hold the mic still, but I won't stand still. For Ricky Jones, I will hold the mic still. And for Melvin, I got you, Melvin. If not, Kevin will just turn it up. But I'm one of those people that really, when I look back at my day, I have a real bad habit of just seeing the negative things. I really, real bad about self-condemnation. Terrible about it. I beat myself up over the littlest things a lot. So when I start my inventory for the day, one of the best things for me to do is to think of something I'm thankful for. To reflect on something good first. It doesn't give the enemy the first foot in the door. It doesn't do that. If I look at something I'm thankful for, it really helps me to start out on a positive foot. And we need to balance it, our inventory. You know, there's going to be good things, and we're going to miss the mark, but there's going to be things that we do good. So we need to balance it and reflect on both. I'm one of those, and sometimes I beat myself up so bad that I don't sleep much. My mind, you know, just races. And I'll lay in bed at night, and I'll think, I cannot believe I missed that. I can't believe when he called me today that I said, call me back tomorrow. Last week, I talked about a man I picked up. I think it was here or Friday, I don't remember. But I picked up a man hitchhiking. He called me back. So God opened up that door again for me to be able to help this man, which was wonderful. Part of that is, part of that's the repentance, though. I knew I'd missed the mark, and I had to repent because I knew that I'd missed the mark. And he opened up that door for me again, though, and I'm very thankful for that because that is something that I have a passion for, is helping the broken. We all should, if we're saved and if we're in Christ, we should have a passion for that. We should. Some of the things that really helped me to get started, too, is to reflect on the fruit of the Spirit. To look at things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, because Jason Ramsey doesn't have any self-control without the Holy Spirit. I don't. I have none. Absolutely nada. I proved it my entire life. But... here's some questions we can ask ourselves as we do this inventory. Some questions that will help to get us started. And like today, when I was working, no, yesterday, and I sat down last night laying there, and I'm doing my inventory in my mind. I still aren't journaling. I just do it up here still, so I need to start practicing what I'm preaching here. But as I'm doing my inventory and laying there, and I'm meditating on my day, yesterday was a tough day. This guy added some extra things on the job that I was working on, and usually, you know, you get a little frustrated with that, and nothing went right. No door that I put in was plumbed. They wouldn't close. They wouldn't open. So as I was doing my inventory, I reflected on that, and I did good. I didn't cuss one time. I didn't lose my temper one time. But that shows me the fruit of the Spirit. It shows me that I'm walking a little more with Christ than I was 2 months ago. Because 2 months ago, I'll guarantee the S-bomb would have fell out of my mouth. And I mean, we're all human. I mean, we all slip up. And if you say you don't slip up, I'm sorry because you're lying. Because we all do in our own way. And I had a... I don't... cuss often, but, you know, every now and then. But anyway, as I reflected on it, I realized that I passed that test. I didn't let the circumstances make me lose these things. We kept smiling, you know, and said, it'll be okay, you know. And we had to take the door out 3 times. You know, I don't get paid by the hour. So every time I'm thinking, wow, really, Lord? Is it going to be this bad? You know, and the second time, you know, I take it out and I'm gritting my teeth, you know, and still smiling. So, because I don't, this man's a Christian. He's a wonderful man of God. And this is the first time I've met him. And I go up and instantly I ask people, so where do you go to church? Because if they don't have a home church, of course, I want to invite them to BCC. And if they say, well, I go over here and they're not happy, I want to invite them to BCC. So I use that for a door opener, is where do you go to church? But anyway, this man is a man of God. And I claim, you know, I said, well, I go to BCC and blah, blah, blah. And then I start dropping the S-bomb. How's that going to reflect on you guys? Yay, that'll look great, wouldn't it? But anyway, here's some questions that you can ask yourselves to get started on your inventory. Today, how did I show love to others? And this is tough. Doing an inventory is not easy. Walking with Christ is not easy. It is, sometimes it's extremely painful. Sometimes it hurts. When I do my inventory sometimes and I'm laying there at night and I'm like, wow, I can't believe. A few weeks ago, I was pulling a trailer and I failed this test miserably. Pulling a 16-foot trailer behind me, and the mailman was stopped in front of me. So I had to get into the other lane. And when I did, the young man flipped me the finger that was in the other lane. So I failed. I didn't flip him the finger. No. Look, everybody's like, yeah, I know what you did. I didn't flip him the finger, but I got mad and I followed him. Yeah. Might as well have flipped him the finger. It would have been easier. But you know what? Do you reflect on your day in a reality? Do you look at your day and do you see how you react to situations? Do your situations... See, I can't control what he did to me. All I can control is how I react to that. So through my inventory, I'm learning to react properly. I'm learning to react responsibly to situations through doing my inventory every day, a daily inventory. But anyway, so, yeah, I was following him at a high rate of speed. And the whole time, Jesus, I left him way back there by the mail truck. Way back there. Maybe he was checking the mail. Maybe I left him in their mailbox. I don't know. But I felt bad. My wife called me, and as soon as she called, the Holy Spirit used my wife, and I realized what I was doing. And I was like, wow. And I picked up the phone. I said, Robin, I need to repent. I was chasing this guy, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm real quick to repent. And I mean, I am. I realize when I do things wrong. But I got a 16-foot trailer loaded. I mean, you know how dangerous that was? That was dumb. That was absolutely getting in the flesh and walking away from the Spirit. But how many times do we not even realize that because we never examine our lives? We never look back at our day and say, today, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? We just go day to day. We go about our business, go through the same 5 stop signs every day, to the same places every day, and we never reflect and look back to see if we're improving with Christ. And it's challenging. I mean, I felt bad, poor kid. You know, poor people that had to see me doing that. Have you seen my truck? Back window says, to God be the glory. Yeah, about that time I wanted to get out and scrape that off my back window. But you know what? We all mess up. Are you big enough to fess up? Are you big enough when you mess up to say, you know what? I messed up. There's one thing that I don't do. I'm very transparent. I don't lie. You know, in the Bible, they don't sugarcoat anything. So why do we? Why do we always try to act like we're perfect people? No one in the Bible was. Not one of them. But yet we want to put our handles on. Look, I'm moving my mic. Only once, that was good. But here's some questions. Today, how did I show love to others? Today, did I act in an unloving way toward anyone? Today, did others see in me the joy of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, why not? Today, how was my peace? How was my serenity? Did anything happen today to make me lose my peace? And what was my part in it? What part was I responsible for? See, Celebrate Recovery, this is actually some of the stuff I teach at Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is not just about getting off drugs. It's not just about being set free from that bondage. It's about growing in Christ. Celebrate Recovery is one of the best growth processes that I've seen. These 12 steps will take you from an infant in Christ, and they'll help you to mature. They won't put you at that place, but they'll help you to take you down that road that you want to walk down and help you to become more Christ-like. That's the purpose of Celebrate Recovery at this church, is to take people that are broken and to watch Christ and to help Christ put them back together. That's what doing this inventory is about. In Celebrate Recovery, a lot of people have a misconception that it's just about addiction. That's the easy part. What drove us to the addiction? What are the character defects that we were trying to hide? What happened to us as a child that we're trying to hide and suppress with those drugs and alcohol? October the 6th, a step study is going to start for women here at the church, 6 o'clock. It's going to meet every week. If you're interested in growing in Christ with some other women who are looking for the same thing, you ought to try that. October the 6th at 6 o'clock here at the church, Randy Hobbs and Cindy are going to lead that class. They've already been through it at Celebrate Recovery, and they're going to lead it. It is a wonderful opportunity to look inside of ourselves and to see the things that we're not happy with and to expose them to the light and let the light change them. It's a wonderful opportunity for that. So I would really recommend trying that. It's a commitment, but I've come to realize that Christ is a commitment, any part of him. If you say you want to walk with him, it's a commitment. Let me get back to these other questions. Was I patient today? Today, what caused me to lose my patience? Do I only owe anyone amends? There was a time at the church here, and it really helped me to respect, I'll say, one of the elders in the church a lot more. Them and someone else were having a discussion, and they didn't really say anything that offended me, but I was just standing there during the conversation. And 10 minutes later, they came up and they said, you know what, I owe you an apology because I should not have spoke like that in front of you. That shows me a Christ-like person. When somebody's willing to walk up and to make amends, and even on something that minor, but willing to walk up and to say, you know what, that wasn't very Christ-like. I owe you an apology. That takes humility. What does the Bible say? You shall humble yourself and the Lord shall lift you up. You know, through those things, when you do it in that manner, self-condemnation's not there. It's a freeing experience. Very liberating. One of the steps at Celebrate Recovery is evaluate all my relationships, offer amends to the people that I've harmed, and forgive the people that have harmed me. It's one of the things that we learn at Celebrate Recovery. And yes, my list was from me to that back wall of people I've harmed. But you know what? I just had to be willing to write this out. Celebrate Recovery will really work you. You have to write out a list of people you've harmed and become willing to make amends to those people. You know, one of the hardest situations for me in that particular situation, as I've do my daily inventory, I also do a periodic inventory. I'll go back and look at situations. But in the 90s, my mom got real sick with cancer and she was dying. She ended up dying in 90-something. I don't really remember those dates very well. But anyway, while she was real sick, I did a lot of horrific things. I'd steal all of her medicine, her morphine and her Dilatas. I would steal them and sell them. I would steal them and take them. I would go in there and steal money. I actually stole so much of my mother's medicine that they cut her off from her medicine. She was dying of cancer, a terminal patient. And then I told her that my stepdad did it. So that drove a wedge between them. And my stepdad ended up getting on drugs. And he went in there and shot himself in my bedroom one day. Killed himself. So for years, see, I carried the guilt and the shame that I drove this man to suicide. And in all reality, I had a part in that, okay? But you know what one day I realized? I realized that I was forgiven and that guilt and shame was nailed on that cross. There's things... Yeah, there went my mic again. I could have just raised one hand, I guess. But we need to realize there's lots of things that doing these inventories have helped me to realize that I had a part in it, but I'm forgiven of that. We don't even realize sometimes the things that we carry on our shoulders. We don't know why we can't look up and see people in the eye. There's something there that needs to be addressed. For me, there was something there that needed to be addressed. And that was just a little part of the things I needed to address in my inventory. That was a few of the minor things that come with that lifestyle. Here is a good question to help you on your inventory. How was my faithfulness? How was my faithfulness? You know, that's a vague question. Faithfulness in so many things. Were we faithful to our spouse? Did we gawk in other directions we don't need to? Were we faithful to Christ? Were we faithful to our church? I mean, faithfulness is just huge. Such a vast thing. Did I keep my word with everyone? Are we people of integrity? Does our yes mean yes and our no mean no? And it's okay to say no sometimes. Sometimes we just need to say, no, I have too much going on. I can't do that. I'm speaking to myself on that one. How was my gentleness and my self-control? Did I lose my temper, speak a harsh word? Was I just downright mean to somebody? Yes, I was. I chased him in my truck. And it's tough. You know, doing an inventory is tough. 5 days out of the week, it seems like, when I do my inventory at night, my biggest thing that I talk about is work. I get consumed with it, which is wrong. It's a bad thing. Bad. That's all I talk about is work. It's not healthy. Pay attention to what you talk about, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What do you talk about the most? What's in you the most? The Bible says that I can't serve two masters, doesn't it? I can't serve money and God. So if I'm always chasing work and a dollar, I'm probably serving the wrong thing. I have two beautiful little daughters who, if I'm not there to be their dad, they're going to find a man that's going to fill that void as soon as they get old enough. Inventory's tough. It really exposes me to a lot. But through doing a daily inventory, we humbly live every day. We learn to live in a reality, not in denial. We learn to live in the reality of the things we need to change, the things we're doing right. There's things we're doing right, too. It needs to be a balanced inventory. And some of us in here probably have more right than we do wrong in a day, which is wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. Mine's getting better. You know, my things I need to make amends for and stuff, not nearly as big as it used to be. I don't have to have my wife read the other end of it anymore as we roll it across the floor. It's not a scroll. And it gets better. The more that we work on things, the better that it gets. One of the best things that it's helped me to do, though, is to start to have positive action instead of a constant reaction. I was a person that it doesn't matter. I just reacted instantly to anything and everything. I was drove by my emotions my whole life. I mean, drove by them. I've always been a crier. I've always been an emotional person, very emotional person, which there's nothing wrong with that. For 3 months at John 3:16, that's all I did was cried, literally. First week I cried, then I got saved, and then I cried for, you know, 2.5 more months. It got to the point one day where I went up to Brian Tuggle and I said, "Brian, I've got to go home." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I can't quit crying." You know, and just started crying. He said, "Jason, go back to your room. Go." And I'm like, "Why?" Now he's telling me to go to my room. There's nothing wrong with emotions as long as they don't lead us. Our emotions can't lead us. We desire to grow daily in our relationship with Christ, I hope. It's something that we desire to do. And it takes a lot of effort, a whole lot of effort, to stop for 10 or 15 minutes in the evening and to sit down and to reflect on your day is a wonderful thing to do. It's wonderful. It's one of the best ways for me to see who I am, see where I need to improve. God's given us a daily checklist to help us with this too. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So when we do our daily inventory, ask ourselves, today did my actions show what the second greatest commandment? Today did I love others as myself? Neighbors means others, not just the guy that lives next door. Took me forever to figure that out. I'm pretty simple. I'm like, I hope I loved him and him, but then I forgot about all the other people. But it is. Today, did we love other people as ourselves? It seems like nowadays we're taught to put ourselves on a pedestal above everything else. You know, that even in other recovery things in the secular, they teach that it's all about me. It's all about me. That's wrong. That's the total opposite of Christ. It's not all about me. And that's one of the things that I'm so thankful that Celebrate Recovery teaches us, is that it's all about Him. It's all about Christ. But as we learn to live the two commandments, as we learn to put them into action in our lives, we'll become more like Christ when we start to put these things into action. One of the biggest things we need to learn to do is become doers of the Word, not just hearers. As we do this inventory, we're going to see, are we actually living the Word? We might be the only Bible that people actually come into contact with, especially in the recovery realm that we're in. Celebrate Recovery is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. Look, see, I want to cry. See, I told you I was a cry. It really is, because, and this is a rough estimate, out of the last 3 years, there's been between, last time I counted, 350 people that have came through there and at least visited us one night. So let's just rough guess it and say 450 people that have came through and visited Celebrate Recovery at least one night. I might see 24 of those people that actually make it, that actually get their kids back and keep them, get plugged into this church or a church and make it. they might get sober for a little while and receive that seed with joy in that, but then when the things of the world come, it just withers up and dies. And you know, that's tough. If God doesn't call you to do something like that, you're going to collapse because all you see is failure. But you know what God showed me? To celebrate those little victories. We've got a family that comes, they're not here tonight, but they come on Sundays and Fridays. They were on the front page of the paper for losing their children because of their addiction. The front page. They came to celebrate recovery broken. I mean, just distraught, absolutely crushed. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He was on his way to killing them. He had destroyed their family. He had stolen their children. And in the last year, I've seen God restore that 100%. Now this family is here on Fridays, they're here on Sundays, and every other spare moment they have, they're taking their kids fishing. They're being a family. They're being what they're supposed to be, what God made them to be. And that's through this church and Celebrate Recovery that that's possible. That's because of the love when they come through that door that they're shown the reality of Christ. Not just pick your Bible up and read that. You know, it'll get better if you just read your Bible and pray. There's more to it. Through the 12 steps that we teach and through these things that we teach at CR, they're learning to be doers of the Word. And to me, that's just awesome. When they first came through the door, they saw people that were living Bibles. They saw that. People interacted with them that were genuine and real. And and that's been tough for me, though, because I've seen some that I thought they're going to make it. I mean, I'm like, wow, they got it. And they did for about 6 months, and then they're just gone. But, you know, if we get hung up on that one that disappears, I go for them for a little while. I will chase that one out of the 100. But they come back. I've seen a lot of people that have come back. They've taken that little seed, and then they come back. We've got one here that a year or two ago, they showed up for a little while, and then they had some troubles, and they got incarcerated, and now they've dug in. They're back. Because through that seed, they knew where to come. They knew. So, through our inventory, we should learn that our actions need to match our talk. Wait, let me get that right. Our walk needs to match our talk. It needs to, we need to be a reflection of what we're saying. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he said, our very lives were further proof to you of the truth of our message. Other people should see God's truth. If I fail and go back to drugs, I made God look like a liar. Because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I will put both feet on that promise, and I will remain free forever. I will never do drugs or drink again in my life. Period. I will not do it. Because the Bible told me I don't have to. And I use that scripture. The Bible says that anyone who's in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So I'm not an addict anymore. I don't have to be. But if I go back, and I've been preaching this for 3 years at Celebrate Recovery, people are going to say, oh, yeah, Jesus works. Look at Ramsey, he's partying again. I don't want to make God look like a liar. So as I do my inventory, and yes, I go around the day talking about Christ, you know, and I try to influence the people I come in contact with. But then if all of a sudden that door doesn't fit twice and they see me start dropping F-bombs and S-bombs, how'd that work out? I just totally was the biggest hypocrite ever, wasn't I? And it's happened, and I'm not saying it won't happen again. The last time it happened, I failed. I ran a skill saw into my finger, and I said all kinds of things at those poor people's houses. And they knew something was wrong because, well, I don't talk like that regularly. They come running out, blood all over their house, and I'm like, crying. One stitch later, you know. I'm all better. One stitch, yeah. And I went back. I was like, I can't work. I've got a stitch. And they were like, you said all that for that stitch? I was like, I know. I'm in CR. I'm growing. But it was a... At the end of each day, stop and take a little while to reflect on your day, to do an inventory, to look and make sure it's balanced. Start out with thankfulness. Start out with something good. Don't let the enemy walk in first. I did that forever. Don't do that. And then another great thing to do is a periodic inventory. About every 3 months. And if you write down and journal your inventory, it'll help you to see a little easier if you're having patterns of things that you don't like. You know, because if I, and I'm guilty of this, so I'm going to fess up again. I got to quit fessing up all the time in front of you guys. I'll just do that at home from now on. But anyway, if I'm just doing it mentally, I can't look over it and see it if I'm seeing a pattern of things I don't like reoccurring. But if it's written, I can actually be more aware of that. And if you're real brave, you can let what we call an accountability partner look over your inventory. At Celebrate Recovery, we have accountability partners. We have someone that's there to hold us accountable. When we start to fall, we have someone that knows our everyday life that is like life group. It should be. Life group should be like this. That when you need someone there, you call them. And they're always available. They know us well enough to see when old patterns are starting to rise up again. They know us well enough to see these things. But sometimes, you know, we just need to hand them our inventory and say, look, here's what's been going on every day. Look at this and see if you see these things happening. See if I'm really getting better or not. You know, espousing things, growth is hard. Growing in Christ is not easy. It's not as easy as just coming here on Wednesdays and Sundays for me. It's not. It takes a lot more effort than that. But I am not the type of person that will ever stand still. Look, I'm sitting down for just a minute, but I won't be here long. I don't stand still. I'm an active person. I have to be moving forward because otherwise I'm going to go backwards in a hurry. Real fast, I'll start going backwards. The current of life moves pretty quick. It takes a lot of effort to keep moving in it. Otherwise, it... Phew. I have no idea what time it is, so... Okay. Here's some key verses. When you're doing your inventory, be sure to celebrate the victories. If all we do is look at the bad things, the things that we need to correct, we're in that negative state of mind. We need to celebrate the victories, the small victories. We need to recognize these little things because it takes a lot of little things to make a big thing. Each time I have a little one, like today or yesterday with those doors, to me that was huge, a huge victory for me. Little but big, you know, that I didn't lose it. Even the guy working with me said, wow, you did pretty good on that. I'm surprised. And tonight, you know, right now my mind's reflecting something else as I'm talking. I guess I did another bad one today. You know, I had to go from point A to point B a lot, and C and D in a day. So, you know, when I'm going down the road in my truck and the speedometer says 95 and it says to God be the glory, that wasn't good today, was it? So, but you know, there's lots of areas we all have. One of those is that for me today. Here's some key verses, though, that will help us as we do our inventory. Some key verses that can help us to get in the Word. Proverbs 16:23 says, intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. Slow down and think sometimes. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. So we should only be building people up and helping them to grow. That's a tough one, isn't it? You know, I've came to realize that the word sometimes just slaps me right in the side of the head. But that's okay. Sometimes I need it. I need to be in it. Proverbs 16:21 says, a wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. What are we talking about? How are we talking to people? Especially at home. How are we talking to people at home? Through the day, you know, when we're going about and I'm dealing with customers or you're dealing with the people you work with, you're all, yeah, you got your best smile on. And then when you get home, it's like, I'm tired. Leave me alone. We give our family members the last and the leftovers. We need to think about that. Because I go to church, I don't know what, 4 or 5 days a week. But then at home, I'm not any Christ-like. So what are my kids going to do? You know, something I really have noticed that I really, our pastor, obviously, his walk matches his talk. I mean, Davey, not the best in the world, but his kids are, you know, his family did good. They're still in church. They're actively involved. And to me, that is a man that I trust. That is a man that I know when he gets up here and teaches us, it's a reflection of who he is, a reality of who pastor is. Because when I was growing up, I had an uncle who was a preacher, and it really put a bad taste in my mouth. We've all had experiences, okay? I had one, and he would preach, and then he'd go home, and I remember him hitting my cousin in the nose, literally, and you know, with a closed fist. And I'm thinking, not until after I got saved, you know, then I thought that was just normal, you know.
Yeah, go home and hit your kid after you preach. You know, God loves you. He wants to save you. How are we doing? Are our words pleasant at home? Or is it just when we're here? For me, I'm getting better, but it used to be really bad, you know, because when you work with the public, I have to put on my smile and be that, you know, nice person. But then when I get home, I ran out of niceness or something. I don't know. Used it all up during the day. We need to be sure that we're consistent, that we're steady. However we act here, we should be acting the same way at home. Nice and pleasant. A word of encouragement does wonders, Proverbs 12:25 says. For me, I can encourage, you know, 400 people in 3 years that have come through Celebrate Recovery, and I'm just learning to encourage my 5 and 7 year old daughter properly. Encourage my wife when she needs it. Does that make sense? We need to reflect this at home too. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them, and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making a noise. Love. Faith works through love also. Wow, I got my notes totally out of order. How's that going to work out? Anybody know? There we go. I should have been putting them back there. You people that have used notes need to give me hints. I'm not good at that. We need to do an ongoing inventory. Take your daily inventory. About every 3 months, look back through your journaling. Look at it and see if things have changed, see if things have grown, or see if you're still stuck in that same spot. Once a year, we need to step back and take our every 3 month inventory and look at those and check our progress. We need to test ourselves. That's what it said in that verse I read, that we need to test ourselves to make sure that we're growing. So many times I get stagnant with everything except work. I just get stuck there. But I'm willing to look into the mirror and say, you know, God, help me. When I go through my inventory, God, help me with this problem, especially with my driving. Okay, fine, I'll throw that out there. Especially with my driving. 90 mile an hour is wrong. I know we need to obey the laws of the land and all that. But I thought I was on my motorcycle maybe. But all these people, one of the reasons why I love to, like the back of my shirt has a cross and it says, to God be the glory. You know, that helps hold me in check. It really does. Basically all I have is these shirts, Luke 4:18, John 3:16, or CR. So if you wonder why it's all I wear, it's because that's all I have. It keeps me in check, though. If I'm walking through Walmart parking lot and somebody almost backs out and hits me, if I'll think about what my shirt says, that it says, you know, Jesus Task Force on it, or to God be the glory, it might help me to keep my mouth shut a little better for me. It'll help hold me in check. Because when I look back at my inventory, I was not very nice. I have a lot of things that I need to work on, that God's working on with me. I came to realize that I'm powerless to control my tendency to the wrong thing. It's Christ. Christ is the one that is helping me to grow and to change these things. Because on my own, I'm absolutely powerless. Have no clue. Start journaling. Tonight when you get home, sit down, take a piece of paper. What are you thankful for? What are some things that we missed? Did we show the love of Christ to others today? How did I react when that person just wasn't nice? What did I do? That is the longest 30, 40 minutes ever. But reflect on it. How did you do today? And don't beat yourself up. Stop and pray. Get out the word. You know, when you mess up, fess up. You know, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that easy. Mean it and try to change it. Shake the dust off. You know, when I carried around, I finally figured out why I cried for forever. When my mom died, I don't even remember shedding tears. I was real bad on meth. I got down to about 116 pounds. Right now I weigh about 200. So if you can imagine me 80 pounds less, I look like death. It was my ribs that stuck out then, not my belly. It was bad. But when my mom died, I just suppressed everything. I switched from meth to drinking because the meth makes your emotions so much more intense. So I just drowned it in alcohol for a long time. And then one day I realized that when I was doing a, I guess you'll call it a life inventory, we do a step four where we do a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And we go back as far as we can remember. We dig deep, dig very deep, because there are some things from way back then that I didn't know. I probably, honestly, wouldn't have hurt me to go, probably still wouldn't hurt me to go to a counselor. An outside influence that I could let my wife shake in her head, yes. You see that? Yes. But it really probably wouldn't hurt, because there are some things in there that I suppressed. You probably have some things in there that you've suppressed. She's still shaking her head, yes. There's probably some things that we need to suppress. So when you do an inventory and you actually start reflecting on your day, it might bring things up from way back when. And if it does, I pray and hope that you have someone you can call. You either have a spouse, or for me, there probably needs to be a gender-specific another man, some things I can talk about things too. But you need to have somebody that you can call on, because sometimes the enemy loves to beat us up. I mean, he loves that self-condemnation, loves it, loves to condemn us for things. One thing I know, though, is that I'm under the blood and that my sins are forgiven. So when I realized all these things, and there's pictures in my head of when he did this, all they did was took his body. So we had to go in there and clean up the mess. And the whole time I'm reflecting and thinking that, you know, this is my fault. And for years, I just thought that it was, you know, and beat myself up over it. But that's a horrendous sight to see those things. I don't know, I guess I was 19 or 20. But we've all had things in our lives, maybe not that drastic, but we've all had things that we need to check, that we need to bring to the light. It's Celebrate Recovery. We start out, well, my shoelace was long untied, that one. If I trip and you don't laugh, you know, it's okay. You can put it on your daily inventory and repent later. But at CR, the first thing that we realize is that we're powerless without Christ. Then we come to realize that a power greater than us can restore us to sanity. We come to realize that that a power greater than us can restore us to sanity. Then we come to a point to where we consciously choose to commit all of our life and will to Christ's care and control. And once we get to that point, we start dealing with ourselves. Then we do a searching, fearless, moral inventory of ourselves. Then we confess all of our sins to another person, because the Bible says that confess your sins one to another so you can pray for each other so you may be healed. Yes, I'd been forgiven, but the things did a lot of pain. I needed a lot of healing. And if you are looking for a growth process, October the 6th, if you're a woman, we break up men and women at CR because it's important that you can be more open and honest that way. But October the 6th is going to be an opportunity. They'll meet here at the church. There will be childcare. There will be childcare, so if you're interested in that, and it's a private thing. It's not like you're going to show up on Friday night and say, you know, Celebrate Recovery is a private thing where you and Christ do the work together. Time is probably winding down. Don't forget October the 8th. We're going to have a hog roast out at 545 Gap Road. We will eat at 2 o'clock if Jerry shows up. But if October the 7th, we're going to have a men's night. We're all going to hang out and cook the hogs, and we're going to... Maybe Jerry will bring a guitar and play some music, and we'll just hang out all night. So if you're a man and you want to come have a man's night roasting hogs, come hang out with us. The neighbors will love it. So examine ourselves. Bible says if we judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged. So we need to learn to examine ourselves, to look in the mirror honestly and to say, you know what? I messed up in this area, but you know what? I did good in this area. Make sure to keep it balanced. And it's tough, you know. Sometimes we get those cheerio, you know, lift you up and you want to shout and dance messages. Sometimes we get those improvement messages. So, but let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that as we do an inventory, Lord, that you meet us there with renewed mercies, Lord. That you meet us there with grace, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for going to that cross, Jesus, and for making a way for us through that blood, that when we mess up, that we can be washed and cleansed from our past, present, and future sins, Lord. We just thank you for that. Help each of us, Lord God, to be more disciplined and dedicated in our walk with you. Lord, we just love you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' most powerful and precious name. Amen.